In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Every year in January, we have Life Sunday, and I'll explain why. Because 44 years ago, it was in January, 1973, that was when the Supreme Court made abortion legal. And that's why we do it in January. Since that time, 44 years ago, over 59 million babies have been aborted. So that's a pretty outstanding number. Astounding number. But I want to make clear, Life Sunday really isn't just about abortion. It is about that. But there's a bigger issue here than just abortion, which you probably are well aware of. Life Sunday is a reminder to all of us Christians that every single life is worthy in God's eyes. Every life. So whether it's a tiny embryo in the mother's womb that you can barely even see, or whether it's a 100-year-old life barely hanging on in a nursing home or hospital, every single life is worthy to live and worthy of our love. No matter if the life is small or great, no matter if the life is poor or rich, no matter if the life is super intelligent or mentally challenged, no matter if the life is black or white, no matter if the life is male or female, all are equally worthy to live. Now, why do you and I need to hear this? Because I'm well aware that you might think, well, duh, everybody knows that. But the truth is we don't. The truth is we don't get it. If we all got it, then we wouldn't have a Life Sunday. Truth is, part of our nature as sinners is always tempted over and over again to think some people are more worthy than other people. We all do it. No one is righteous in this regard, okay? There's always going to be people that you inherently think are more worthy than others. I'll give you a few examples. If you have more money, we think you're more worthy. We all do this all the time. You got more money, you must be more important, right? Or we think that if you're famous, this is why we have our celebrity culture. If you're famous, you must be more worthy. We should listen to you more than other people, right? If you're more attractive, doesn't that sound like a silly one? But it's true. If you're more attractive, we think you're more worthy. If you're smarter, well, then of course we think you're more worthy. That's the way we sinners go. And right now in our country, I mean, there could not be a better time to have a Life Sunday, because this sinfulness in our country right now is running wild. We are incredibly divided, and every side is thinking they're more worthy than the other side. Depending on how you vote, well, you're more worthy or less worthy. Depending on where you live, what part of the country, well, that makes you more worthy or less worthy. Depending on what you look like, the color of your skin, that makes you more worthy or less worthy. And it's ridiculous. But understand that we're not just talking about something out there. It's in here. That's where the problem is. It's in each and every one of our hearts. And we have labels, you know, for certain people that we use all the time that we think just aren't quite as worthy as the rest of us. We call them names. We poke fun about it. We tell jokes. We talk about those people. All the while, we're ignoring this black hole that is in every one of our hearts. And you can call it whatever name you want to call it. Elitism, racism, ageism. Call it whatever you want. We all discriminate. Who's worthy? Who's not worthy? Now, you look at Jesus in the gospel reading today. Jesus doesn't discriminate. Jesus has a very different heart for all of us to have. A heart that is full of love and grace for every single sinner, no matter who we are, no matter where we're from, how we look, how we vote, or how smart we aren't. He loves each and every one of us. And here, he just gives these two just incredible examples of his love in the gospel reading today. Love for a leper and love for a Gentile centurion. Now, in a lot of people's eyes, neither one of these guys were worthy of much of anything. But in Jesus' eyes, they're worthy. So to give you the scene a little bit, he's coming down the mountain. He just finished his whole Sermon on the Mount. And he comes down and Everybody's really happy about him and stuff. And here this leper comes up. And Matthew says, he says, behold, a leper. But he's like, he's trying to get us to see this isn't right. It shouldn't be happening. Because you understand, I'm sure you've heard many times, lepers in that time were not supposed to come near anybody. They were supposed to stay away, and everybody tried to stay away from them. They don't just walk right up to people and beg to be healed. So here you have Jesus. What's he supposed to do, right? He's supposed to gesture to him and say, hey, back off, right? You're not supposed to get so close to all of us. You're not worthy of my time. You're not worthy of my healing, right? But that's not Christ. He doesn't care that he has leprosy. He doesn't care one bit. He doesn't care where he's from or who his parents are. He doesn't care about any of that. He just loves him. And Jesus, not only will he heal him, but he will touch him, which you can imagine was a big no-no. You didn't touch a leper, but Jesus does. And of course, Jesus would take it even one step further than that. He would go and give his life on the cross for that leper too. And then, not after he's just finished that, here comes this Gentile centurion. Now, it's not that this guy would have been like looked down on like he was the scum of the earth, but he wasn't a Jew. You have to understand he worked for the Romans. That's not a good feather in your cap amongst these folks, okay? So he's a Gentile centurion. He works. He's a soldier with the Roman guard. And we don't know. That doesn't mean he was a Roman, but he definitely wasn't a Jew. He was definitely a Gentile. And so most Jews are going to think this guy is not as worthy. So here he comes, and listen to what he says. You know, Jesus says, yeah, I'll go to your house. I'll heal your servant, which, of course, you didn't go to a Gentile's house. But now listen to what the centurion says. No, Lord, he says, I am not worthy. I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Now look at the difference. I mean, do you see the difference there in that centurion between his humility and our usual egos and elitism and our pride and our arrogance? He says, Jesus, I'm not worthy. And that's the truth. That's the whole thing. He really isn't worthy. And neither are we. None of us are worthy of Jesus' grace. That's why we confess our sins all the time. We say, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confessing to you all my sins and iniquities. Our confession is, we're not worthy. We're not worthy, Jesus, to have your love and your grace, and no one else is either. So what does Jesus say to this guy? Does he say, well, you're right, you're not worthy, so I'm not going to go to your house? No, he says, what faith? He says, truly I tell you, in all of Israel, I have not found faith like this. The centurion knew he wasn't worthy of Jesus, just simply asked Jesus to say the word, and his servant would be healed. And that's what happened. And this is wonderful, because we're not worthy. But Jesus comes anyway. He has come for you. He's come for me. He's come for every other sinner in the world. He has healed us of our disease, of sin and death. He's forgiven us for our elitism and our arrogance and our racism and our pride and every other sin in our hearts. He's baptized us into his name, given us his Holy Spirit. He has invited us to come and eat at his table in the Lord's Supper. I mean, he has made us worthy. And not just you and I are worthy of this honor now, but everybody. Because when he went to the cross, he went for everyone. Not just certain people, not just Americans, not just conservatives or liberals, not just black or white, not just rich or poor. Everyone. This last Monday, we got a day off of school. Maybe you got a day off of work. I know not everybody does. But for one, Martin Luther King Jr. And usually in our church, we're talking about the other Martin Luther, the German, who lived 500 years ago. But today, I want to talk to you a minute about the one who was named after that Martin Luther, which Martin Luther King Jr. was. And he was American and lived less than 100 years ago. Martin Luther King Jr. was a Baptist pastor. And maybe you know that, but it's easy to forget that because that little detail is often left out about him. He was, first and foremost, a Christian, son of a pastor, grandson of a pastor. And a lot of his speeches were actually sermons. They were given in churches. And as he gave all these speeches and sermons during the time that he was fighting for civil rights, he was very clear, you will see it if you read it, very clear about one thing over and over again. That all people were worthy. His was not a fight to show that some people were more worthy than others. Everybody was worthy. And he made it very clear that people were not the enemies. There were other enemies, be it sin, evil, injustice, pride, you know, whatever the sin was. But people were not the enemy. We really have something to learn from him today as Christians and also, of course, in our country. But of course, the whole thing is Martin Luther King Jr. didn't come up with that himself. That came from being a Christian. He got it from Jesus. Because Jesus knows that all people are worthy. And I'll give you just one little quote so you can hear it from his own words. This is from a sermon from Martin Luther King Jr. He said, "When the church is true to its nature, it says, 'Whosoever will, let him come.' It's the one place where everybody should be the same, standing before a common master and savior. And a recognition grows out of this that all men are brothers because they are children of a common father." He says the church should be the one place where everybody is worthy and welcome to come because it's the place of Jesus. And Jesus makes everyone worthy. The thing is, Jesus doesn't know anyone that's not worthy to live and not worthy of his love. Abortion is wrong. It's sinful. Because any human person, even if you are that small and even not fully developed, even if you're in your mother's womb, it's a person that Jesus died for. Racism is wrong and sinful. Because every human person, no matter what color, no matter where they came from, no matter what their culture, everyone is worthy of life because Christ died for us all. Elitism is always wrong because we are children of a common Father and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I think this has a word then for us this morning, that we should not be afraid to love our neighbor. Sometimes I think we're afraid to do it. Don't ever be afraid to love your neighbor, no matter who it is, no matter where they live, no matter what their political stance is, no matter what their race, no matter what their size, whether they're born or unborn, don't be afraid to love them. Because all of us are worthy. We're worthy of that love, and we're worthy of life. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean we're going to agree on everything. You know, certainly it doesn't mean that we're going to compromise the truth or something. But we do love everyone because everyone is worthy of Christ. And finally then, my word to you is, you're worthy. Jesus loves you. And even though, like the centurion, we might say, "Jesus, we are not worthy," and it's true, we're not worthy, he makes us worthy. He declares that we are by redeeming us with his very life, every single one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we're going to do something that we haven't done before, but I'd like to do today. It's a litany for Life Sunday. The whole reason, litany is just a prayer. And it's on your sermon, your bulletin insert. It's got sermon on the top of it. Starts in the middle of the page. But I want to explain why. It's because we as Christians, we do believe that abortion is bad for our country and bad for people, and it hurts families and it hurts mothers and it hurts children. And so the best thing that we can do is pray about it. So I'd ask you please stand, and we'll follow this litany for Life Sunday.